thank you for this opportunity to look into your word yet again. We ask, Spirit of God, that you speak to us, your teacher. We ask that you make clear to us your word this morning. The word you have for each and every one of us will not pass us by, that none of us, as you've begun the service with us, O Lord, Lord, none of us will leave this service untouched in the mighty name of Jesus, but we'll be better for it in our relationship with in Jesus' name. This specific word for each and every one of us, Holy Spirit, make clear to us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, you know, like that song says, that God will take us deeper. Last week, we started talking about childlike faith as opposed to childish faith. And I want to continue along that line. You know, in the last week, we looked at that story of when people were bringing their children to Jesus, and the disciples, they don't want them to do so. So they were restrained by the disciples. And we read how Jesus said, you know, let the children come. Let the children come to me, because of such is the kingdom of God, is the kingdom of heaven. Amongst other things, we looked at what it meant or what it means to receive the kingdom of God like a child. And one of the things we talked about is that, you know, we need to learn to trust God. We need to learn to trust God, put our trust in God and not in ourselves. We also said that, you know, receiving the kingdom of God like a child is learning not to despise other people, learning not to despise others. And we looked at the story of the Pharisee that was praying and how pretty much was disdaining, you know, the publican. So trusting in God and not ourselves, not despising others. And also, you know, in terms of receiving the kingdom of God like a child, we say that we need to be real, that it's about being real and not being hypocritical. And that really, it stems from that, you know, prayer of the Pharisee, not looking down on others, being real, not being hypocritical, not trying to remove the log of wood or the splinter in another man's eye when we've got a log of wood in ours. And above all, we said it's about living a life of humility. It's about living a life of humility. Praise the Lord. So, childlike faith. It's interesting because that was not the only instance, the only time Jesus Christ talked about, you know, having a mindset like that of a child. There's another passage in Matthew chapter 18 when Jesus made reference to, you know, his followers having a childlike mindset. And this was in relation to who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We can see that in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. And I'll read. It says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, truly, I say to you, unless you're converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Interesting. It says, unless you're converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So there is a clear demand. There's a clear instruction that as believers, as disciples, we need to be like children. But as we said last week, Jesus tied it down to a lifestyle of humility. A lifestyle of humility. He says, the next verse, after he made that statement, he said that Whoever then humbles himself as a child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So we need to be converted, become like children in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. But we also need to humble ourselves like children in order for us to be great. You know, I remember a popular saying that, you know, the only way up is down. So if you want to go up, if you want to be exalted, you need to humble yourself. And that's scriptural. That's scriptural. You know, whenever I think about the comparison between discipleship
If you fall your head, then
praise the Lord. Whenever I think about the comparison between discipleship and children, there are two passages that come to mind. And I'd like to, you know, to briefly talk about this. You know, discipleship children. So the first passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Actually, verse 2 of that passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. And the second passage is actually 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 3, 2. 1 Peter 2. But I'll read the first two verses in each instance. It's just aesthetic context, and you see where I'm from. So Paul, writing to the believers in Corinth, says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ." And the key verse here, because I give you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not yet able. I give you milk to drink, not solid food, for you're not yet able to receive it. And then 1 Peter. So Paul was talking to the Christians in Corinth. These were people that accepted the way they were Greeks. Corinth is in Greece. They were knowledgeable. They had many gods, but they had come to the way. And I can imagine that they were still in a place where in a sense they were missing their faith. Because one of the things Paul talks about to the people in Corinth, particularly in 1 Corinthians, is the fact that there was a measure of carnality walking in the flesh. So it was not totally, they were not so totally sold out in their walk, in their relationship with God. They were still bringing bits and pieces of their past, still relying on what they knew before coming to Christ, still mixing that in their relationship with Him. And that for Paul was a challenge. Now, Peter, on the other hand, you know, wrote a general epistle. And Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 says that, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander." So obviously, putting aside certain things, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, back-talking. It says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Some version says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the world, of the word, that you may grow thereby. Some other versions say, you know, desire the spiritual milk that you may grow. So on the one hand, we hear Paul, you know, saying that he gave milk to the disciples in Corinth. On the other hand, Peter is saying that we should desire milk. Now, are we talking about the same kind of milk? Paul was speaking about carnality, you know, being in the flesh, and the fact that there's a time for everything. We look at every child. Every child grows, or we expect every child to go from a point of not being able to speak to the point and not being able to walk or move to starting to form speech. Sometimes it comes as, you know, babbles and yell the gaga and googles and all that. But with that process, that they're learning to, you know, to talk. It goes from, you know, the child drinking purely milk to taking semi-solids and then being able to take solid food. But here we see Peter saying that, you know, as newborn babies, we need to long for the pure milk of the word. We need that spiritual milk of the word so that we can grow. Praise God. We, brethren, need to grow. There is no child. That there's no parent that would have a child and be watching that child and thinking, hang on, 6 months, 9 months, they're not forging ahead. Obviously, there are different time scales for different children. You see some children in 6 months, they're already walking. I remember some many years ago, a friend of mine came to visit us, and the girl wasn't even 6 months. She had already started walking, and I was amazed. I think she was 5 months plus. She was already walking. And yet you see some children, they're already 12 months old, they've done their first birthday, they can't walk. Is it wrong? No, there's a time. So we don't use the same measure for every child. But if there's a child that, by the grace of God, is whole and there's nothing wrong with that child, and yet the child is 4 and the child is not working, 4 years old, what am I talking about? If the child is 18 months and the child is not working, I'm sure some parents will be concerned. There is a time for everything. There is a time. There's a time to take milk. There's a time to take solid food. So Paul was talking to, you know, in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul was actually, you know, he was in a position that he wasn't so happy with the disciples because he felt that they had gotten to a place where they need to move on. He said that I could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as, you know, men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. The reason he would say that is because there was an expectation that these guys would have moved from the point of infancy to a point of, you know, progressive maturity. Is there a specific time scale? Not so. But, you know, there is that expectation that you will progress in your faith, in your relationship. The infancy in Christ should be, you know, at the beginning of our Christian relationship. We cannot continue to remain as infants. We cannot continue to remain as those that, you know, are not yet able to understand the basic principles. I remember some years back, I talked about going back to the basics. You're talking about the basic principles of the Christian faith, of Christianity. Now, for an infant, for a child, that will be the expectation. They're coming to terms to, you know, a level of understanding of what God expects, how we should act, what we should do. But that should be for a time. It's taking milk, understanding the basic principles. But there has to come a time when we start taking solid food, we start taking meat, we start engaging with stronger gospel truths. You remember that story when Jesus, you know, was sharing a message, and the folks were saying, man, this is a hard thing. Who can take this? And many walked away. And he asked Peter, it was like, okay, you guys, what are you going to do? We also go walk away. And Peter said, you know, where will we go? You're the one that has the word of eternal life. So there will be instances when, you know, the truth of the gospel can be challenging. And not everybody will be able to handle it depending on their relationship, the level of their relationship, and where they're at. But we need to get to a position where we're comfortable in ourselves as children of God, where we're comfortable in our position and in our knowledge of God, to know that even in the face of challenges, even in the face of the hardship, in the face of the trials, we will not be shaken. We will not be moved. That may not happen in one day, but it builds. It's progressive. Moving on to maturity. And that's why that hymn we sang, I love that hymn so much. It says, take me deeper and deeper. Take me higher. Oh, deeper yet, I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in your precious holy word, to know you more, higher and higher in the soul of wisdom, deeper and deeper in the love of Jesus, deeper and deeper, blessed Holy Spirit, deeper and deeper, though it cost hard trials, whatever the cost, whatever the challenge, whatever the situation, that will be rooted in the holy love of Jesus. That deeper and higher every day in Jesus. So that we'll be found in the conqueror's own image. So that we'll be truly in the image of Christ. In all things, in all situations. Say deeper and deeper in the faith of Jesus, in his power and soul exalting wisdom, going deeper and higher, a call to spiritual maturity. So does that then mean that our childlike faith, you know, works or is contrary to spiritual maturity? No, it doesn't. There's a time for everything. As, you know, again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 11, you can tell that Paul wasn't really, really happy with these guys when he wrote this letter. I mean, Paul admonished the Corinthians again to put away childish things in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians and the 11th verse. It says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. You can tell I'm actually quoting different versions of the Bible. Some version says, when I was an adult, I put away childish things. It says, when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. So as a child, he said, he talked like a child. So there's a way children talk. There's a way children think. There's a way children reason. Now, that is, even as Christian child babes, so we can be talking about the spiritually immature. there's a way you would expect the spiritually mature to talk, to think, and to reason. But that is permissible. Because at that point in their Christian life, they are children. So babes in Christ, little children in Christ, you'll expect them to talk like children, to think like children, spiritual children, and to reason like spiritual children. But Paul said that when I became a man, I put away childhood. I put away the childish way of things. I moved on. And, you know, the writer of Hebrews pretty much, you know, made a similar statement. If we look at Hebrews chapter 5 and the 8th verse, from the 8th verse, we'll read from the 8th verse, Hebrews chapter 5 verses 8 to 13. The key verse there is actually verse 12. So if you look at Hebrews chapter 5 verses 8 to 13. It says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain. So there's some things that are difficult. There's some things that are challenging. And depending on where you are in your relationship with God, you'll find it easier to deal with certain things. You'll find it easier to handle some things. It says, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. So at some point, you know, when you ought to be teaching others, you still need someone to teach you. It says, when you have come to need milk and not solid food. So there is a time for milk and there's a time for solid food. Truly, brothers and sisters, we need to examine ourselves. Where are we at? Are we at a place where we should be, you know, taking milk? There's nothing wrong with having milk when it is the right place to be. As Peter said, as newborn infants, as newborn babies, as newborn children, desire, you know, the sincere milk of the word, so that you can grow thereby, so that you can grow spiritually. There is a time for milk, but there's also a time for solid food. The time for solid food should not be mixed up with the time for taking milk. You see an adult, I mean, the picture that comes to mind is, I'm just thinking about all these athletes. So you think about all these athletes, think about the rugby players, pretty much any athlete. Now, the reality of the fact is that if you're an athlete and all you do is drink milk, you will not have enough energy to do anything. You will not get enough nutrients to support you for what you need to do. Pretty much every athlete, they burn, the rate at which they burn calories is amazing. So they have to feed themselves so as to be able to sustain that level of activity. So as a spiritually mature individual, you need to sustain yourself. You need to continually sustain yourself for the level of engagement that is required of you. As a spiritual babe, as a child in Christ, as one that is still maturing, as one that is, you know, at the early stages of growth, the milk might be enough. we need to examine ourselves. We need to check ourselves with where we're at in our relationship with God. Are we still trying to sustain ourselves purely on milk? Or should we be taking meat, like what the writer of Hebrews said, and what Paul said? Is there a need to rethink where we're at? It says, for everyone who partakes only of milk, verse 13, is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant. So if we're still depending solely on milk, we're still at that stage of infancy. So there's a time to desire the sincere milk of the word, which Peter talked about, and which the Bible, some versions refer to as the spiritual milk. But we need that milk in order to grow. We need that milk in order to grow. But there's also a time to then start taking solid food. You know, Hebrews 5:14. It says that, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So we graduate from taking milk to solid food. And in doing that, you know, it says that by reason, that's a different translation. It says by reason of practice, because of engagement in the word, because of engagement in the things of God, our senses become trained to discern good and evil. And that is where, you know, we can choose to exercise our childlike faith in the things that are good. I think it was Paul again in the book of Romans that was saying that we should be excellent at what is good and be innocent of evil. It says, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. That's in Romans 16, verse 19. We should be excellent at the good things and be innocent of evil. So when it comes to evil things, we need to be childlike. And talking about the childlike innocence, the innocence of children. And we see something similar in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and the 20th verse. It says, brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants in your thinking, be adults. So when it comes to evil things, by all means, let us be, you know, childlike, totally trusting in God, totally yielded to God. When it comes to things that can lead astray, when it comes to the natural man, let us be childlike towards God, totally trusting in God. It says, in regards to evil, be infants. Be like children when it comes to evil things, when it comes to sin, when it comes to things contrary to God. Be like a babe, innocent, innocent. We should be innocent of evil. We should totally trust God at his word, hold on to him. But in our Christian race, let us propose to grow to move from infancy, to move from that childishness to a place of spiritual maturity. My sincere prayer is that God will help each and every one of us, that in our daily walk, we'll seek and we'll desire to move deeper still in him, to move deeper in the love of Jesus, to grow on a daily basis while still expressing that childlike faith that Jesus expects of us, while still walking as the child of God that he wants us to be. Amen. That's the word that I have to share with us this afternoon. It's now afternoon. And I just want us to take a moment and pray. You know yourself. You know where you're at in your relationship with God. The Bible says that, you know, we should examine ourselves and see if we're still in faith. I just want to encourage you in the next few moments, just take a moment of reflection. Lord, where am I in my walk with you? Where am I in my relationship with you? Am I as one that still needs to be taken meal? Should I have moved on from taking meal? Should I be at a position of spiritual maturity where I'm engaging with the deep word? Or do I still need the basic doctrines? Should I have moved on from the basic doctrine? Lord, search me. Help me to walk in step with you. That I'll be where you want me to be per time. That I'll not fall back in my walk, in my relationship. That I'll constantly desire that spiritual milk that will help me to grow to salvation, to move towards the ultimate salvation, so that when you come, I'll not be found wanting. And perhaps you're listening and you're thinking, I haven't even gotten it yet. I'm not even at a place where I should be taking that spiritual milk, because I'm not yet born again. Before you can take the sincere milk of the word, you need to be a child of God. It says, to as many as believed in, to them he gave the power to be called the children of God. If you're listening and you're yet to give your life to Christ, I just want to encourage you to take a moment and just pray and ask the Lord Jesus into your life. To that Lord Jesus, that he'll become your Lord and your Savior. The Bible says that, you know, God loves you so much. He loves the world so much that whoever believes in his Son will not perish. And that's why he gave the Lord Jesus. So why don't you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life? And perhaps you're born again, but you've been struggling. You've been struggling and you're thinking, I've been born again for so long, yet I'm not seeing that marked growth. Why don't you just pray that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, God the Father, will cause a turnaround as you propose in your heart to grow. It's a conscious decision that you make. Lord, I want to grow. I pray that I will be more established in my relationship with you. Everlasting Father, we bless you in the name. We give you all the praise. We thank you, Lord, for the word which we've shared this day. We pray, oh Lord, that you will help us individually. You will help us collectively. That, Lord, it will be our determined purpose to grow deeper and higher in our relationship, in our walk with you. That we'll be as you've called us to be. That we'll walk in step with you. That at the point of childhood, we'll be as children. At the point of moving towards spiritual maturity, we'll move towards spiritual maturity. In the things of God, we'll be childlike. In the things of the world, Lord, we will shun evil. We'll be innocent of evil. We'll be childlike when it comes to the things of the world, also that we would not subscribe to the things of the world, but we'll subscribe to your will and your will alone. We give you all the praise, Father. Beyond all that we've shared this day, we ask, oh God, that you'll help us. You'll help us to walk in your will. You'll help us to walk in your way. To you be all the glory, Father. For we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.